You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This is going to be the hardest and the saddest week of most Americans' lives, quite frankly. This is going to be our Pearl Harbor moment, our 9/11 moment, only it's not going to be localized. It's going to be happening all over the country, and I want America to understand that.
The words of the Surgeon General. The Surgeon General making it very clear that we are going to have a difficult time ahead, that we're not going to be able to deal with this casually. We have at this point, according to the Surgeon General, a time that we're going to see possibly more deaths this coming week than we have up to now. And then they're hoping, the hope is, that at that point we'll begin to see the numbers drop off. This is where you really have to decide. Are you going to buy into the remedial efforts we've had? Because the remedial efforts have not failed us. They have not been successful in all cases. We know that. We know there are cases and folks were still suffering. And we know there are more cases that are going to be exposed. And there are those who are complaining about staying home and the remedial efforts. But the bottom line is it has had some success. Same with hand washing. Can't stress that enough. Hand washing, another critical. Mask. Now, here's another thing. I'm going to talk about mask here in just a moment. The president, of course, being challenged by some of the reporters at his last conference, well, why aren't you wearing one? Not one reporter in that room was wearing one. And for him, he said it's an option, and it is an option if you want to use a mask or not. But the issue is, why would you not want to? As far as I know, I think the answer truly is that you wouldn't want to, or you don't want to, because it just doesn't fit your style. It could be vanity. Let's be serious. It could be vanity. You're going to have to decide to put your vanity aside. All right, here's where we are at this point as we go forward with this next week. The word from Japan. The entire nation of Japan may be under quarantine. And when Japanese Prime Minister Abe was announcing that, he's wearing a mask. The worldwide confirmed number of infected cases, confirmed infections, 1.3 million. Deaths, 70,000. U.S. confirmed infections, 340,000. And deaths, just under 10,000. And the numbers are looking better out of New York. At this point out of New York, they are looking better. But then again, it is just the beginning. We've already been told don't get overly excited about the numbers going up, down, or indifferent for a period of time. What we're going to have to deal with this time around is as the numbers begin inching up and higher, where's the peak? If you're looking for some silver lining in the midst of all of this, I'd say consider the fact that if you and your family have been taking all the remedial efforts that you're advised to do so, and you're healthy, that's the beginning. There are still some who want to run around. I've got a friend who's got two teenagers. They've been sneaking out from time to time, meeting up with friends. And sneaking out with friends, meeting, thinking, as one of the teenagers told the parent, "You don't know what you're talking about, Mom. Kids don't get it. Just old people get it. And babies." Actually, they're wrong. This has stricken all ages. And if you've got one of those children who believes that they are absolutely safe, they need to be listening before we wrap up the next 2 hours. I got a couple of stories I want to share. And one of them, very heartbreaking. So as we move through the next 2 hours, we're going to bring you up to speed on where we're going from here, what we expect to see happen. And, of course, I cannot ignore, because they continue to persist. The resist movement continues to attack Trump despite anything and everything he does, be it the drug that he's suggesting might be a cure-all, might help for some, not everyone, or wearing a mask. It makes no difference. Why? Because they are the resist movement. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
On the one hand, things are going to get bad, and we need to be prepared for that. It is going to be shocking to some. It certainly is really disturbing to see that, but that's what's going to happen before it turns around. So just buckle down. Continue to mitigate, continue to do the physical separation, because we got to get through this week that's coming up, because it is going to be a bad week.
And that is Dr. Fauci backing up what we heard from the Surgeon General in the beginning, and that is, this is going to be a bad week. I can't stress that enough to you. I mean, we're going into the Holy Week. A lot of folks want to go to Easter Sunday services. Some are planning to do something either virally or some kind of extended broadcast of their service, whatever. Make your plans, but main thing you need to keep in mind is it is critical in this coming week that we don't begin to sense that, well, things are looking better. They are looking better to some extent. I mean, the numbers coming out of New York right now appear to show a lessening of the seriously ill, and in part at least, because about 4,000 of those most seriously ill have been treated with that anti-malarial drug, hydroxychloroquine. Now, the president has said that could be a potential lifesaver. Does not say that's a cure-all. It's not a magic bullet. But that apparently, in combination with Z-Packs or zinc, apparently is making some difference, at least for some. Don't begin to think that, well, if I get sick, I can get that drug and I'll be well very quickly. Not necessarily true. Governor Andrew Cuomo last month said he wanted his health care providers to start using that drug in combination with erythromycin, things of that nature, I should say. Last ditch cases based on potentially promising research. He said time is of the essence. In other words, they can't wait to decide if we're going to have a full investigation and a vaccine developed. You're looking at a year or so before they have a vaccine. And the other part of this issue, Dr. Fauci has suggested this might become a seasonal type flu that comes around. So we do need to be prepared in advance. But right now the key is, what can we do to get a better control of it? Because in controlling it, the way they look at it is when they watch the numbers come in and the effort to flatten the curve, as they say.
Well, this is going to be a bad week, Margaret, unfortunately. If you look at the projection of the curves, of the kinetics of the curves, we're going to continue to see an escalation. Also, we should hope that within a week, maybe a little bit more, we'll start to see a flattening out of the curve and coming down.
That's what they'll be watching for, the flattening of the curve and the coming down. Now, the numbers coming out of New York are looking better. That's that one area that had been the hardest hit. Some have pointed out, experts I've had on here before, have said the numbers went up dramatically in New York because not as much attention was being given at that point, in the sense that we thought it came from China. They did not see that many Chinese coming into New York. They were seeing them mostly on the West Coast, where there were numbers accelerating. But then the New York numbers went crazy, because then we realized we need to have control on European flights and personnel coming in. President Trump took a step on each one of these as they developed, as they began to surface. January 31, he issued the stop on Chinese residents coming direct to the U.S. unless they're fully checked. He stopped flights, and airlines began to back off their flights. And then he followed up later with Europe, once we began to see the numbers increasing still. And right now, there are numbers out of New York that a lot of airlines have shut down their flights or sharply curtailed their flights into New York City. They're not flying as often in or out of New York City and the surrounding area at this point. One other thing that's going on, and this is part of the issue that is going to haunt those in the trenches trying to deal with this. While they have seen, and we've documented, cases in China getting better, and I say documented based on basically Chinese numbers, which we cannot always be sure of. But China was suggesting some numbers have dropped off dramatically to the extent they can start reopening some factories and allow free travel again. In fact, they were just lifting travel restrictions to Wuhan, the city considered to be the epicenter of the coronavirus. And just as they were preparing to do so, word began to surface that Beijing was reporting an increase in asymptomatic cases. That's raising concerns about a second wave of infections. And in fact, Beijing apparently had 47 cases Saturday, and by Sunday they had doubled that number. The loosening of the travel restrictions they had in China had been mandatory 14-day guarantees, but then they began to relax them. And now we're going to see if they're going to change that again. There have been a lot of questions anyway about why were there no cases being reported in Beijing? Were they withholding that information? I've got an expert in China coming up a little bit later in this hour. We're going to look at the numbers as China's released them, and how maybe they fudged them, and more importantly, what they did not tell the world that could have saved lives, and what China has done behind the scenes to reintroduce blame and refocus blame, I should say, and target the U.S. And in fact, if I read some of the quotes and remarks coming out of China, they also echo almost word for word in some cases, some of the resist movement inside this country. The ones attacking the president, saying he's not doing enough and how he's failing and that he's to blame. I'm telling you, you could take some of those quotes and take out China as a source and add this actor, this actress, that Hollywood elite, that Hollywood person, and it's almost the same. It's depressing. But when are we going to be able to say we actually have this under control? Well, here's the problem. Because as Dr. Fauci and the Surgeon General said earlier, this week is going to be the telling week for the U.S. As you heard the Surgeon General say, it's going to be our Pearl Harbor and 9/11 all wrapped up in one, but it's not isolated at one location. It's going to be across the face of our nation. So if you've got relatives in one part of the country, you think, oh, they got to be fine. They're in the middle of nowhere. They might well be, and they might not. Again, this is never a matter of trying to panic the American public, but trying to make sure you're aware and you're actually attuned to it. Yes, a lot of folks are getting upset and tired of going through the hassle and the closed off and complaining and run out of things to do at the house anyway. I mean, some folks just love projects and they're out of their projects. Well, I'm sorry, but we're asking you and encouraging you to continue to refrain and limit any outside exposure you have. Some folks have said, and I felt it too the other day, just want to maybe just get in the car and drive somewhere. No one but me in the car, just drive somewhere and then drive back just to get out. And the mask, I have to admit, I told you my director, Quentin, brought me one the other day, and I wore it after we left the program Friday. I had to go into the store and pick up some groceries. So I thought, that's a big grocery store. Going to be a lot of people in there. The word is this stuff can hang in the air for a period of time. I'm going to wear the mask, and I did. I felt kind of silly. I did. I was like, come on. I felt silly. But I get in there, and several people have them, and others don't. And when I see those without it, then I feel even more silly. But I'm fine and healthy today. I don't know what condition they're in today. I was thinking, should I wear one while I'm doing the radio program here? Muffle my voice. When the beginning of today's program, I lost the audio. Suddenly, as we started the program, I couldn't hear. For some reason, my headsets went dead. And I thought, uh-oh. That must be another form of coronavirus they don't tell you about. You go deaf. No, that's technical. And then trying to wear this, I can barely see. Oh, I got the mask too high. Silly little things like that. And we can laugh and find some kind of humor, but the reality is we do not have this under control in any aspect. And Dr. Fauci says you cannot forget that we're still trying to get it under control.
We are struggling to get it under control, and that's the issue that's at hand right now. The thing that's important is that what you see is increases in new cases, which then start to flatten out. But the end result of that, you don't see for days, if not weeks, down the pike. Because as the cases go down, then you get less hospitalizations, less intensive care, and less death. So even though you're getting a really improvement in that the number of new cases are starting to flatten, the deaths will lag by, you know, 1 or 2 weeks or more. So we need to be prepared that even though it's clear that mitigation is working, we're still going to see that tail off of deaths. So the first thing we want to look for is to see on a daily basis of the number of new cases starting to stabilize. We've seen that in Italy. You just mentioned that correctly. We're going to hopefully be seeing that in New York very soon. And that's the first sign of that plateau and coming down.
First, few new cases. Second, fewer infections. Third, fewer hospitalizations. Fourth, fewer deaths. And you began to reach the end of it. We're not there yet. It's going to take a while. And we have to deal with those who want to basically, one, ignore it. Now, the mask thing, that's going to be, obviously, it's one of those things they encourage you to do. But the hand washing is critical. Hand washing should be such a basic hygiene. It's distressing that at this, in this country, you had to stress, unless you're talking to a child, hand washing. That should be routine hygiene. The way this stuff travels, they say, it's by contact. It is person to person. It could be droplets left in the air, not just because of sneezing, but simply someone talking. You're expelling gases even in the process of talking. Then it gets on a railing. You touch that with your hand. Then you put your hand toward your eyes, your nose, your mouth, and you've passed it on to yourself directly. If you're hand washing a lot or wearing gloves and then taking care that you don't touch the gloves to the face, that helps. But in the midst of all of this, we still have those on the side that want to blame everything that goes wrong on the administration. Because we're coming up on a presidential election and they're not getting any traction. They're not getting the coverage. So what do? Make noise and set fires. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com. RedFitnessLounge.com.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So in the midst of all of this, while we continue to battle the coronavirus, we continue to have to battle the left attacking President Trump along with the media whenever and wherever they can. As you know, Biden was one of the first ones to complain about us stopping flights from China, saying it was xenophobic and putting the fear in the American people. Then later I had to acknowledge, yeah, it's a good idea, but not in the beginning. In the beginning, because it was a Trump decision, it had to be wrong. CNN ran a story about the U.S. coronavirus travel ban could backfire, stigmatizing countries and ethnicities. And then later had to admit, it's a good thing we did. The Chinese Communist Party official mouthpiece, the People's Daily, called the ban racist. I told you earlier in the beginning, I could take many Hollywood elites and put their name in place of this, and it would echo the same thing. I could have said, because he's already said it anyway, Meathead from Archie Bunker, you know who I'm talking about. He said this ban would be racist. All of these folks stepping forward to challenge simply because it came out of the White House. Has President Trump done everything right every step of the way? No, and he would be the first to admit it. But we're several folks having difficulty staying on top of this and handling it right. And part of it has to do with what we were told coming out of China, which was a lie. And we're going to get to that with an expert in a minute. But let me point out, there's a Democrat out on the field, Governor Newsom, who's also stepping up saying, I have failed. The governor of California is admitting failures in getting a lot of his people tested. He said, we did not do it in the real time that we needed to. He said, we had too many folks that needed testing. We peaked at about trying to get the test done and get the results back. And he said, we failed for many days. They were kept unknowing, untested. He said, "Oh, that's frustrating to you. It's certainly frustrating to me." And then he said, "You deserve better, and I own it. You deserve better, and I own it." Listen, I would challenge Governor Newsom on many things, as I have, and the same thing with Governor Cuomo in New York. But anytime someone will step up and say, "It's on me," I applaud them. It'd be very easy for him to say, "Well, again, it's got to be the Trump administration." And to that extent, Cuomo has said the same thing. The Trump administration has delivered anything and everything we needed. And Newsom the other day said, as the CNN reporter Jake Tapper is trying to get him to chastise and criticize Trump, he said, "I can't do that. I wouldn't be honest if I did. They've done everything we want." We'll take a break. When we come back, I want you to hear from an expert on how China has basically set us up and continues to blame us and hide vital information.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com. Schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We welcome back. We've had him on before as a guest. Always glad to have his input. Dean Chain, who's with the Heritage Foundation, an expert in Chinese and foreign policy and China's efforts. And Dean, is always glad to have you on board, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Let me begin with, I'm looking at a piece. Well, first of all, there's so many different avenues to go through. Let me go back to where I was. You wrote a piece the other day for Daily Signal talking about how the House, we just cannot verify China's numbers on COVID-19. We've known that's been a question mark, and what is the issue? Because they're lying, or they're fabricating, or they're just concealing, or both, all three?
I'd say it's all three plus some. Look, we're looking at a country of 1.3 billion people the size of the United States, which means four times as many people spread across a continent. Is it really possible that the Chinese have a figure of a town in upstate Maine, or, you know, outside the main cities of Idaho, or in the middle of Kansas? Probably not. So we start with having just numbers that can't be gathered. And then on top of that, you have a Chinese system which is very much focused and oriented on concealing as much as possible from themselves, from their own population, and then, of course, from everybody else.
You noted that it's a political warfare and on several different levels.
Yes. The Chinese are trying to get messages out simultaneously to three groups. First, their own population, because Xi Jinping is not worried about the 82nd Airborne dropping on Beijing anytime soon. He goes to sleep wondering, however, if the Chinese people are going to rise up. whether it's because of coronavirus or because of African swine fever, where Chinese are now facing pork rationing, shortages of other foodstuffs, et cetera, and losing their jobs. The next audience that they're targeting is us, the United States, and our allies, because we are a threat to Beijing from Xi Jinping's perspective. And then finally, there's a huge propaganda effort to influence everybody else, to get people from Kazakhstan and Kenya and Peru to think of China as the good guy, the people who provide aid in the face of coronavirus, who are going to provide loans, who want to build out your 5G network thanks to Huawei.
Well, you know, I took note of that because China, as you know, the other day had Italy had donated a lot of coronavirus supplies to Beijing a few weeks ago, and now Italy needs them back, and China is selling the donated items back to Italy. That seems to me like they lost on that effort to show they're going to be good neighbors.
Oh, absolutely. And if you take a look at some of the other reports from around the world, donated Chinese supplies to the Netherlands, to Turkey, to the Czech Republic are all turning out often to be expired or not working very well.
In other words, it's useless material. Go ahead.
In a lot of cases. But how much are you hearing about this, right? When the New York Times publishes an op-ed that says, China bought us time, we've bungled it. You know, how many folks are going around, you know, finding news about the Czech Republic, and how many people are relying on more traditional sources of media, especially here in the U.S.?
I'm glad you brought that up, because before you joined us, I was making that same point that I could take some of the comments that have been made by China and put them right into the words, and they would be direct quotes out of either presidential candidates, leftists, the media, Hollywood elite, for instance, being racist, the decision to stop the flights coming in from China, and the world, CNN had run a story at one point saying this coronavirus travel ban could backfire, create ethnicity and stigmatizing and so forth. That's exactly what the Chinese are saying as well. They're carrying each other's water.
Well, absolutely. There is a certain shared worldview, I suspect, that's going on. And let's not forget, I think it was CNN who also said that, isn't it a shame that the coronavirus task force is overwhelmingly white and male? I wonder if they'd like Dr. Fauci to step down.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, how about the director of the World Health Organization who got the position on the vote of China, a couple of years or so ago? He's the first non-physician to serve as the Surgeon General. He is the one also who's helping parrot the story from China back in January. This cannot be transmitted person to person.
To be fair to the WHO, they are a very decentralized organization that really depends on information from the member states. So if the Chinese were telling him, this is not going to be transmittable from person to person, it has to go through some other vector, it's not like they necessarily could independently verify that early on in the epidemic. The really scary part about that story is that apparently WHO held off on issuing a travel ban because they were worried that Beijing would, if there were a travel ban, then say, okay, that's fine, no WHO teams will be allowed into China. If you think about it, nobody else bends over like that because nobody else threatens this way. Can you imagine the Germans or the Japanese or even the Russians saying, if you say something bad about us in the middle of a start of a pandemic, we're not going to let any of your doctors in to help check out the situation? Only China seems to be willing to play that kind of hardball where it puts its reputation above.
But there were no World Health inspectors going inside China at that time, is that right? And no CDC inspectors that I know of.
No CDC. WHO did, in fact, send in a team, I think it was in late January, early February. But, of course, by then, things were getting out.
So they had to know prior to that time. And I hear what you're saying, but the World Health Organization, I think, even in late January and going into March, was still saying it's not that transmittable.
Yeah, and
I still say I think they have to own part of carrying this facade and endangering the world in the process.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if WHO had issued a travel ban, because a lot of countries, you know, the U.S. as the premier power has the ability to say, I don't care what the WHO says, we're going to issue a travel ban. But a lot of other countries throughout Southeast Asia, Africa, and elsewhere really rely on WHO to sort of set the goalposts. And if WHO says you don't need to do a travel ban, it's going to be really hard for some of these countries to go ahead anyway.
Well, again, back to the – and I've got the quote right here in front of me from Joe Biden stating when it was put in place, the day after they were imposed, he said, this is no time for Donald Trump's record of hysteria and xenophobia, hysterical xenophobia and forearming, and he said fear-mongering to take place. In other words, exactly the, what I would expect to hear from China coming from Joe Biden – a member of this country, and at this point, I would think, can we not stand behind the president on what he's trying to do to protect the nation?
Well, I think it was Joe Biden's boss who said, never let a good crisis go to waste.
You're right. You're right. And they don't. Dean, as always, we appreciate you giving us your time, and I appreciate your expertise. We'll be getting back to you, because obviously there are a lot more developments in this story still to come.
Looking forward to it, and I hope you and your listeners stay safe.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Dean Chain from the Heritage Foundation. The story, as we were talking about with the World Health Organization, and of course he's the expert, and I certainly go with what his word is, and I hear what he's saying, that if they were simply taking China at its word and they had no way to verify one way or the other, well, all they can do then is just report and parrot what they'd been told. That's all understandable. But what we are seeing now, and you should be aware of this, is that calls are now being instigated and increasing, and I'm glad they are, that the director of the World Health Organization either resign or be fired, kicked out. Senator Martha McSally, Republican of Arizona, is saying that, one, she's never trusted them anyway, and of course most of us haven't. We're talking about the Chinese government. And that this cover-up this time has caused unnecessary deaths around the world. And the director of the World Health Organization should step down. I fully agree. The only one that seemed to know and have a good handle where this was going early stages, and I've told you about him previously, but let's take a moment to praise him again. That'd be Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton. He apparently began to sense that this was a bigger story and, in fact, was missing on some of the impeachment proceedings because they were underway at the same time. He was missing on some of those because he was spending his time working with the White House and other organizations trying to get a good handle on this virus. But when the World Health Organization began to parrot the same story, and say, can't be transmitted person to person, no worry about it. And as Dean Chain said, the very fact that if we had stopped flights even earlier, which probably would have been a good idea, even earlier than January 31, they would have done exactly what they did anyway, labeled Trump a racist. There's no way to win. No way to win. Because it's become politicized. And that's the shame of the entire story. We've got Americans that are dying and many yet to die, unfortunately. Hopefully not as many if we follow the remedial efforts. And in the meantime, Trump got blamed for not having enough masks. You need to hear this story.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So this issue about masks, because there had been complaints from the beginning, whether or not enough masks available, and more masks are being produced, partly because of the president signing the defense product order. But more importantly, we got businesses stepping up and doing it on their own. Well, here's a background when it comes to the mask, and even USA Today had to acknowledge this. And again, this is not an issue to point blame and criticize the Obama administration or anything. It's just that don't let the facts get in the way of a good story as far as the liberals are concerned, and here they have. The Obama administration, according to a story in the Daily Wire, had significantly depleted the federal stockpile of N95 respirator masks to deal with the H1N1 influenza outbreak back in 2009 and never rebuilt the stockpile despite calls to do so. The USA Today took a look at that report and decided, we rate this claim as true. There's no indication the Obama administration took significant steps to replenish the supply of N95 masks. Calls for action came from experts at the time, concerned about the country's ability to respond to future serious pandemics. Such recommendations were, for whatever reason, not heeded. Now, on Sunday, this last Sunday, the AP continued to blame the Trump administration for having, quote, squandered nearly 2 months they could have been used to bolster the federally need of critically needed medical supplies and equipment, stating now 3 months into the crisis, the stockpile is nearly drained, just as the numbers of patients needing critical care is surging. And they got a comment from the former Obama Health and Human Services Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, who told The Wire, we basically wasted 2 months. She's talking about Trump wasted 2 months. She's ignoring the very fact I just read to you a moment ago, that we had depletions during the Obama administration and urging encouragement to get more mass produced, and nothing was done. Let me be more specific for you again. The National Institutes of Health stated our stockpile was taxed during the hurricanes. Alex, Irene, Isaac, Sandy, then later during the 2014 outbreak of Ebola and the 2016 Zika virus crisis, remember that one? And that these situations continue to significantly tax the stockpile with no serious effort from the Obama administration to replenish the fund. That was on his watch. Again, I'm not interested in assigning blame. I just don't like it when you get the left and the media going off quickly blaming Trump without dealing with the facts. They have the attitude. Never let the facts interfere with a good story. Has there been a shortage? Yes. Why? Well, it's Trump. I just read you a quote from Kathleen Sebelius, who had been the Obama Health and Human Services Secretary, said he wasted 2 months. Kathleen, what were you doing back during that time? How many months were wasted at that point? But that's not the issue for the left. For the left, it's a matter of what can we do again to attack President Trump. Here's part of the issue that's going on. You and I know this. Might as well put it back in front of everyone, especially those who don't quite get it, which I'm still surprised. We, of course, are getting closer to a national election. A presidential election. We have already seen the Democrats move their their convention. And the Republican convention, they're both going to be back-to-back. States have already canceled, suspended primaries, looking to do them down the road. Biden is coming forward now and saying, maybe we need to have a virtual convention. In other words, he says, well, with all this going on, we may not even as Democrats be able to hold our convention, so let's do a virtual convention. I guess that means by teleporting everything, who knows? But the election date's still coming. And I've had experts tell me the president cannot move that election date. We've been through this to some extent. on when it comes to primaries, so forth, that's under the control of the states. But the election itself for the president as scheduled, that's still on the horizon. And Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders can't get a single soundbite on the air. Or if they try, it's muffled, pushed aside because of the coronavirus concern. It's a tough time. And poor Bernie. Poor Bernie loses out to Hillary because the Democrats help her. They're losing to Biden right now. He can't get back in charge because of the virus is keeping him silent and to the side. And I think all of this is going to reinforce we need a strong president, and the president leading us at a time like this will continue. It is that verbiage, you don't change horses in the middle of the stream. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Second hour, still to come.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.